is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great, how great. Name above every name. Hallelujah. How great is our God tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He's so great, he has to look down to see heaven and earth as his footstool. Amen. He's so great that every principality, every power, every name that is named is under his feet, under his dominion tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads tonight for a word of prayer. Father, you are so great, O God. How we honor you and worship you, Lord. Lord, we recognize that you are the mighty King, the mighty Conqueror tonight. Lord, and nothing is too hard for you. There's not a problem, Lord, in our lives that you can't solve, Lord. There's not a question that we have in our hearts that you don't have the answer for. There's not a situation, Lord, that we can conjure up, Father, that we can get ourselves into, Lord, that you can't deliver us from. Because you're a mighty God. You're the mighty Conqueror tonight, Lord. Lord, and we love you. We're your children, Lord. We're made to worship you, Lord. Made to honor you. Constructed, Lord, specially made that we can give you glory in a peculiar, special way. A peculiar treasure to you, Lord. And Lord, we want to do that tonight. Lord, we want to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor that you are due. We want to disregard, Lord, the lies of the enemy tonight. We want to disregard the workings of flesh and carnal thinking. We want to lay those aside tonight, Lord, and receive, Lord, your word. Your word is truth. Your word will never fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will come to pass. Every jot, every tittle, every line, every chapter, every verse. And Lord, we believe it with all our hearts tonight. We love you and thank you, Father. As we turn to your word tonight, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would make it live, O God. Live in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, Lord. May it not just tickle our intellect tonight, Lord. But may it be living word in power and in demonstration, Father. Oh, how we love you and thank you, Father. We pray these blessings in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glad to be back tonight. Amen. Thank you, musicians. We're going to turn to our same scripture that we had this morning, Luke chapter 11. And verse 1 and 2. Just continue here, part 2 of Thy Kingdom Come. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. So we saw this morning, we were just looking at the kingdom of heaven and many, many scriptures speaking of the kingdom of heaven, how it was ushered in and what the benefits and responsibilities of being a citizen of that kingdom would be. Amen. And we see here the model prayer, the expression that should be in our hearts. Amen. That's why Jesus modeled that prayer. He was not just giving us words to say, but he was teaching us the attitude that we should have and what we should be looking for, what we should be looking towards. Amen? And part of that is, Lord, thy kingdom come. Amen. Thy will be done. Amen. As in heaven, so in earth. At the back of the book in Revelation, it expresses this desire, and it says, even so, come quickly, Lord. Amen? Amen. After all the prophecy and everything that is spoken, and everything that happens in that book of Revelation, and it gets to the end, and it talks about how the end is going to be. It says, oh Lord, what you've got for us, Lord, is great and wonderful, and we're looking for it. Amen. We're looking forward to it. Amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Why? Because it's so much better than what the present condition of the world is. Amen? Amen. We desire your will to be done above all else. Yes. Here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray, Lord. We desire, Lord, that your word would have the total preeminence. Right. That it would have a free reign in our lives. Yes. Amen? That heavenly places would move with power into this realm. Right. Amen? That it would be implemented here on earth. What you have already spoken and what has already been provided for already is there in heavenly places. May it move into this earthly realm. Amen? This is the cry of every child of God's heart, I believe. And it's why we press, and it's why we pray, and it's why we struggle against unbelief in our own lives. Amen? Because that's our desire. As citizens of the kingdom of heaven, that's our desire. Amen? It's to take this earthly kingdom and put it in order according to God's word. When we see something that is, we see just, it's wrong, an injustice. Yeah. Something in us cries out and we say, that's wrong. Right. Amen. If I had the power to change it, I would change that. Right. Well, one day we will. Amen. 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 When we reign with Christ in the millennium, there will be no injustice. If we see injustice, we'll put a stop to it. We'll make sure that things are done according to God's word. Yeah. But now we are working on our own flesh. Amen. In our own lives, we are pushing sin and things against God's word out of our own personal lives. Amen. 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 Ruling and reigning. And eventually, we'll have a new heaven and a new earth that God is going to renovate and give to us and remove every form of corruption. And that's what we're looking for. Amen. Amen. It's leading up to that, where we want everything back as it should be. We know how it should be. We see God's word. Amen? Amen. Think about that. Amen? No more suffering. No more hunger. No more abuse. Amen. No more tormenting spirits. Amen. Brother, sister, we've got a great future. Amen? Amen. And these current sufferings are nothing compared to what we have waiting for us. Amen. We've got something worth living for. Something worth fighting for. Something worth believing for. Something worth pressing in for. Amen? It's glorious. It's wonderful. Amen? No more cheats. No more people taking advantage of other people. Our hearts cry out. Our hearts are torn apart when we see things happen to people. Amen? But this is not God's way. God's way is perfect. In God's economy, in God's kingdom, none of that exists. That has come about by the workings of Satan. Amen? Amen. So let's look at some more scriptures here tonight as we dig into this part two. Again, I have a lot of scripture that we just want to flow this through the word. Amen? Because it's all through the word, especially in the New Testament, and we kind of want to just jump in that stream and float through it. Amen? Is that all right? John chapter 3, verse 3. Some of these we read this morning, but we'll repeat them again here tonight. Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that word see means to perceive or even know that it's there. Or it's not just visible seeing, but detect it. Amen? Recognize it. Because people that are not born again are living from a carnal point of view. Amen? They're living from the point of view of natural reason and senses. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We read that at the end this morning. Amen? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's our place. That's our position. That's our inheritance. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen? And then Luke 17:20 says, when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come. They were asking him, when is this going to happen? Amen? What is the, you know, supposedly you're the Messiah, the Savior. When are you ushering in the kingdom? When the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Amen. Hallelujah. The kingdom is not with observation. It's not on CNN. It's not on Fox News. It's not on whatever, streaming, podcast, whatever people are looking at. It's not in the news. Amen? It's not out there for the public to know about and to see. It's not with observation. Amen?
Right.
It's something that's working in the heart of the children of God.
Amen.
It's actually a hidden mystery. Amen?
Amen?
Why? Because it's hidden in plain view. There are elect children of God walking the face of the earth all over in every nation.
Yeah,
amen? And if you were to ask, you know, if you were to poll the people of the nation, the majority would have no idea that the kingdom of heaven was in their midst. Think about that. You know, they have these polls. I'm always kind of shocked by they have these presidential polls. Isn't it a presidential election year, right? So there's polls and polls and polls, and they're calling you and they texting you and constantly, right? And there are candidates that have pretty good what they call name recognition. People know about them, right? And then they poll and they get like 5% or something, right? 5% of the people are interested or know about this particular person, but they're pretty well known. Well, what percent know about the true church of the living God? That actually know what God is doing in this age. It's a very small percent, amen? That actually understand. Jesus said, the kingdom is not with observation. There's not a great fanfare here on earth about it, but it's happening in their very midst. Amen. Each child of God, listen to this, each child of God is actually the revelation of the kingdom of God. Amen. Each child. Why? Because they can say the kingdom of God is here. Isn't that what we just read? He said, the kingdom of God is within you. I don't think I misread that. Right? The kingdom of God is within you. So they don't say, lo, it's here, or lo, it's there, or God is doing, building. No, he's building.
Amen.
He's building that believer over there, that believer over there, and he's building this believer over here, and this believer's overcoming, and it's stones in their life of faith that they're putting down.
Yeah.
It's footsteps that are possession of the land. And he's building the kingdom in each individual citizen. Amen? The children are actually the visible portion of the kingdom of God. Amen. The only visible portion of the kingdom of God. That's pretty powerful, right? Amen. You are the visible portion of the kingdom. Hallelujah. We've been given this access to this that cannot be perceived by the outward senses through faith, through revelation. I mean, that's what faith is, right? Faith is revelation. Our position in Christ is actually, amen, what makes us a partaker,
amen.
A participant.
Amen.
And it gives us the authority of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Yeah. Ephesians 1:19 says, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above every principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And Luke 8:9, the disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others it's in parables, that seeing they might see, not see, and hearing they might not understand." He came to his sheep.
Yes.
Amen. He came to his.
Amen.
To get his. And they hear his voice. And another they will not follow. Amen. His preaching, he was preaching in parables. He was preaching the word of God.
Amen.
It was in mystery form. Amen? But they were able to hear it. But to the others, it was a parable. They couldn't understand it. And the understanding wasn't with their mind. It was with revelation. Amen? And he's still preaching that way. He's still preaching the word. His word. He's put his word in our hearts, in the hearts of the ministry, in the mouth of his children, of the ministry, of his prophet, of his apostles, of his pastors. Preaching the word. Amen. Preaching and still calling through the word, still calling his own. That is the kingdom coming to them.
Yeah.
Is the word being preached?
Amen.
Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Bringing the kingdom of God to a child who's ready to hear his word. Waiting to hear his voice. Amen.
Amen.
Some just see it as stories or fables or good, moral teachings. And surely those things are true, but there's more to it.
Yeah.
Amen? He's speaking to us plainly by revelation.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen? To his elect, to his sheep.
Right.
That's how the kingdom comes to each one. Amen. In the same way that preaching or speaking about his word, it might seem arrogant or even outlandish to somebody who's, not one of his elect. When we speak of these things, they would say, "Oh, you think too highly of yourself." No, I don't think highly of myself at all. I think highly of him.
Amen.
And he's the one. It's through Christ he has brought us to this place.
Amen?
Amen? And to the believer, you hear it. And what is it? It's not noise. It's not... It's not arrogant, it's not a mystery, it's a certain sound. It has a ring to it. Something about it, it's something in your heart, it just says, that's truth. That's truth. I believe that. I don't maybe understand it with my mind, But I believe it. I believe it. Amen. You have ears to hear. Amen. And eyes to see. Blessed are you, he said. Amen. Blessed are you. Hallelujah. It's our role as the children of the kingdom to manifest the kingdom. Amen? Now, the Catholic Church believes in setting up of a kingdom here on earth. And they believe that, well, some have believed that we're in the millennium now. Others believe that the church will be the ones that set up a kingdom to usher in the millennium. So they're actually building an earthly kingdom. That's why they build power in the church. And many other Protestant churches believe some form of that as well. But that's not our job. Our job is not to win political battles. Our job is not to gather power here on earth. Amen? Our job is not to gather resources here on earth to prepare for some, you know, something that the Lord is going to use to establish the millennium. It's not that at all. That his kingdom is without observation. In fact, this work is not even our work. It's his work. Amen? It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. It's him doing in us according to his will. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. God using us to unveil and reveal himself, to reveal his plan, to show people the nature of Christ. Put it on display. Amen. In the church of the living God. Hallelujah. His body. Amen. His body here on earth. And he's using his body. He is using his body. Not his body is deciding to do things on its own. He is using his body, directing every part, directing every member, directing every citizen. Amen. Leading them and guiding them. And he is using his body to bring all things in heavenly places under subjection to his word, and eventually all things on earth. He will use his body to do that. Amen? Hallelujah. Every rebellious, fallen kingdom, as we were looking at this morning, we were looking at Daniel's prophecy. Amen? Where every kingdom would fall and be crushed and be under subjection to this kingdom. And that this kingdom would stand forever. That will never fail. Oh, hallelujah. What a blessing. Amen? Amen, amen. Hallelujah. As we said before, it's his work in each individual life doing that. Amen. That work happens, brother, sister, in quietness. In almost silence. Compared to what's happening in the world. It happens in your prayer closet. Amen. Amen. It happens in those quiet times in your life when you think nothing's happening, nothing's going on, and yet God is doing something. God is moving. It seems like nothing changes, but it seems like your prayers, they go unanswered, but everyone is being stacked up. Everyone is being stored. Amen. Every promise claimed is being laid in there. And at some point that dam will break. Amen. Little by little. It seems like sometimes we come service after service after service. And sometimes we just feel like nothing changes. It's just one after another. But you don't realize you're changing. You're being changed from glory to glory to glory. You know, it's like when you haven't seen a child or a kid, if you haven't seen them in a while, right? Their parents, they don't recognize maybe the change that happens so quickly. But if you haven't seen them in a couple months and you see them, well, wow, what happened to you? You know, they grew 3 inches, right? But if you're with them day after day, you don't see them grow 3 inches. Amen. But it's happening anyway. It takes years. But it happens little by little by little. It's funny, you know, I just kind of thought of this, but it's interesting. We notice an inch. You think about an inch, okay? An inch of height on a person is a big deal, right? The difference between like 5'11 and 6 foot, or 5'11 and 6'2, like you'll notice that. You go, man, he's like a couple inches taller than you. An inch is small, though. Like if you think about an inch in terms of like how many inches is this building? I don't know. We think in feet, right? Square footage. We don't think in inches, but an inch on a person. How long does it take to grow an inch? I don't know. You grow like a 16th of an inch or a 100th of an inch a day. So little that you can't see it. Amen? That's the point. It's so small that you never notice it. Unless you get growing pains. But over time, you see it. Amen? It's line upon line. You start stacking day upon day upon day upon week upon month to month. Amen? And pretty soon, you see growth. You see inch by inch that little kid that was little, now he's taller than me by a good 5 inches. Amen? 4 or 5 inches. Give dad a little bit more. Amen? And it just happens right before your very eyes. Amen? And that's the way our spiritual life is. It's little by little, service by... But we have to be faithful. Amen? Amen? We have to be faithful. Come service to service, little by little. Amen. Listening to sermon after sermon, reading our Bible, chapter after chapter, prayer by prayer, trial by trial, claiming promise after promise, claim it again. Haven't received it yet? Claim it again. Haven't received it yet? Claim it again. Haven't received it yet? Claim it again. Little by little, we're growing. And brother, sister, that's how he's doing the work. Amen. Jesus told us, in fact, I think we'll have it, we'll read it, but he told us that those things that he deals with us in secret, it will be made plain and shown out in the open. In fact, let's read it. Let's see. I think I've got it in here. Let's look at the next ones here. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. We'll just look at some more scriptures here. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. I love that. He's preaching and he's showing. So it's not just preaching. It's also showing. Showing by what? By works. Amen. Whether that was healing the sick and casting out demons or just being who he was. Loving the unlovable. Amen. Living the word. Preaching and showing. The glad tidings. Glad tidings is the good news. That's the word for gospel. Gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 are with him in Ephesians 3:9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a lot in there, right? Principalities and powers in heavenly places. That's what we're talking about. Amen? Powers that are in that place, that spot, that position. Amen? That it might be known by the church and the manifold wisdom of God. And then as we go down Matthew 10:24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore. Amen? They might call, if they call the master Beelzebub, how much more will they call you?
Amen.
Evil things. Amen? Fear them not, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Amen. You know, I take this scripture and I apply it to all the con jobs that are out there. You know, how many people have just lied through their teeth? Sure. Amen. And how many politicians or how many people have gone to jail wrongly, been wronged in some way? But it says, fear not, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. It will eventually come. Now, it might not be in this world. It might be in that time to come. But it will. It will happen. Amen? And there's nothing that will be hid that shall not be known. All things will be known. Every conspiracy theory out there, you'll find out. Is it right or not? Amen? But listen to this, verse 27. He says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. So when he says in darkness, he's speaking about in private. Amen? What I tell you, what I reveal to you, that, speak it out. Amen? What you hear in the ear, preach it out upon the housetops. The things that I, in other words, the life that I'm giving you, he said. I'm changing you. Put it on display. Amen? Amen? Show what I'm giving you. Show the character that I'm forming in you. Show the world who I am through what I've given you and what I am making you into, what I'm giving to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Everything will eventually be brought out into the forefront and revealed openly. I was thinking today about, there was a book that I read one time. I might have mentioned this before, and it just really stuck with me. It was a biography, or I think it was a biography. Anyway, it was nonfiction. It was about the things that happened around the Watergate scandal, and some of the. But that was part of it, and some of it was also things that were happening around, just in that time frame, in politics and around the White House. It was from the standpoint of a man that was there, and he's just kind of giving an eyewitness account of things that happened. And the Vietnam War was a big part of that, right? And I remember it was early on in the Vietnam War, and they were talking about, he had just gone with the Secretary of Defense at the time, who I don't remember who it was, but they had just gone and they had gone to Vietnam, and they had a policy in place. This is our strategy. This is what we're going to do. This is what they put it out there. They put it out in the press. This is our official strategy in Vietnam. And they went to Vietnam and they saw and they recognized, they saw firsthand from the generals and everybody that was involved. It was 100%. It was unanimous. There wasn't any question. And the Secretary of Defense realized it, agreed. They saw that their policy and strategy was 100% wrong. It was absolutely contrary. And they all recognized it. And what they were doing was failing. And they came back, and he was with like the press corps or something. And so he witnessed all of this. And they came back and... I don't remember how he was on the plane with them, you know, and part of this whole entourage and everything. Gets back to the United States, the Secretary of Defense steps out and they have a press conference and the lights are on and the cameras and everything and the microphone and he says, I'm proud. They said, how did it go? How did your visit go? And he said, I'm proud to report that our strategy is just as great as ever. We're pressing forward. It's successful. Just lying through his teeth. 100%. He knew it. Everybody on that plane knew it because they talked about it the whole way over there. What's going to happen? You know, we need to change the strategy. It's not working. And he stands up and just lies. And I remember how that stuck out in my head. And the author of the book says something to the effect, he said, you know, I hope I never have a job where I have to lie like that. But you see, it was just par for the course. And the Secretary of Defense didn't even think anything of it. Well, this is what you do. That's politics. We are being lied to every day. Every day, we are being lied to. And this is not to be political or anything. I'm just showing you Satan's kingdom. Right? Satan's Eden. We are being lied to every day. And lies are just par for the course. It's just natural. It's just what they do. Amen? But that's not how God's kingdom is built. Amen? All of those things will be brought out. Amen? Every lie, everything that's covered up will be brought to light. Amen. That's what he said. Amen. Let's continue reading this here. God's provided a place of worship, he says. Now, notice when this great moving power of God comes into a son of God, it quickens him. The spirit of life enters into him. Right? That's what we read. It seats them in heavenly places right now. Not will be, we are now. Now we are already resurrected in our soul, right? The dynamics and mechanics has gone to work, quickened us. We're quickened up into the presence of God where his spirit is. And now we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Sitting there, that great seat that's already fired up. Been raised from the dead. I like that. Already fired up. In other words, there's power there.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Been raised from the dead. And we're a part of it. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? If you're part of the bride, you are, because the bride is part of the groom, you know. So we find out it's the same thing. She'll do exactly what's predicted for her to do in this day. She won't be Laodicea, not by no means a lukewarm, but she'll be on fire for God. She'll be moving on in the Spirit of God. Now, we're looking here now to find out that the same time that it does, and this strikes us, once we're dead in sin and trespasses, rather, we've been quickened together in the Word of God. Of this age. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So, right now, brother, sister, right now we are regarded as kings and priests. Amen. Spiritual kings, of course. Amen. Spiritual kings as subjects of the King of Kings, the spiritual kingdom of heaven. We have our own spiritual kingdom, our own spiritual domain. Amen? And we are called to be that. We don't reign with him over the earth right now. We will. That will be the final result. And what we're leading up to, we're gaining the character to be able to do that. But our goal is not power. Amen? It's simply to see God's word carried out. It's not, we don't want, we aren't looking for power or authority for ourselves. It's that we want to put things back in order for God's word. We believe his ways are best. And the way we start that is in our own lives. Right? We put our lives in order. We put our lives in order, ordered by the Word of God. We conduct our lives according to the Word of God. And then we extend that to our homes. We extend that to our families. Amen? If we're parents, we put our children, we put our family in order according to God's Word. Amen? And that's just training for us to when we'll put this whole earth in order according to God's Word. Because we know his ways are best. All you have to do is look at the chaos that's caused when man has his own way of doing things. What follows? It's always death. The best they come up with, it's something wrong with it. There's some unforeseen, you know, side effect to the medicine or something like that. Amen? But if we follow God's ways, it's the best way. His ideas for a well-ordered family, his ideas for marriage, and his ideas for men and women and how we conduct ourselves, it's the best way. We acknowledge there are other ways to do it, but why not do it the best way? Amen? Hallelujah. Putting our lives in order. Amen. As children, we are also priests, offering intercession. Amen. Intercessory prayer. Sacrifice of worship. We're not offering animal sacrifices like the priests of the Old Testament, but we do offer a sacrifice. Amen. We offer the sacrifice of praise. I think there's a song that goes something like that, huh? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Right? We bring, sometimes it's a sacrifice. Amen. Sometimes we really feel like it and sometimes we don't, and it's a sacrifice. Amen. We have to take our feelings and we have to lay them on the altar and slap them around a little bit and say, you're going to worship. Amen. It's a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes we have to offer intercessory prayer for those that we don't particularly or aren't happy with. This person wronged me. Well, it's your job to be a priest for that person. To offer intercessory prayer. To forgive them. To pray for their forgiveness. To pray that God would help them. Amen. That's a sacrifice. That's a priest. The priest, a priesthood doesn't act on their own behalf. Amen. That's the whole point of a priest. A priest isn't there thinking about their own good. They're thinking about the people that they're ministering to. They're a servant. Amen. Each one of us is a servant. A priest. In the way that we offer sacrifice and we offer intercessory prayer, we're praying for our loved ones, those that aren't saved, those that need God. We're praying for them. Now, we're not Christ. We can't be the Lamb. We can't be that. We can't be the mediator, right? That's not what we're talking about. But we're offering intercessory prayer. We're praying for them. We're praying the Lord of the harvest. He uses our prayers, amen, to do his work. Offering a sacrifice of intercessory prayer. Ruling and reigning in our spiritual kingdom. Amen. And he reigns in life. Not death, life. Not retribution. Not getting back at someone. But instead, seeking their best interest. Amen? Not returning evil for evil, but returning good for evil. Somebody treats you evil, you return good to them. That's what a priest does. A priest absorbs the blows that are sent their way, and they return back blessings. Amen? Amen. This is why we cannot love the world or the things of the world. If we love the things of the world, the love of God is not in us. That's what the scripture says. Amen. And it's the love of God that compels us to be priests in his kingdom. Because human love won't do that. Human filial love says, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You do something for me, I'll do something for you. And it's politics all over again. It's trades, amen? It's making alliances. But that's not how God's love works. God's love says, you need this, so I give it to you. Amen. This is why we don't live the way others live. This is why we don't do things, the things that others do. Amen, we're of a different kingdom. We're of a different nation. Amen. It's why we live our lives for the gospel. It's why we plan our vacations around church meetings. Amen. It's why we don't miss services, man. When there's church here, we do our best, everything that we can to be here. It's why we seek God in prayer before every decision that we make. Every step we take in life, we seek His will. Amen? We run our goals, our hopes, our dreams, we run it all through the Word of God. Make sure it's His will. Why? We're members of a kingdom. We're citizens of a kingdom. We live according to that kingdom. And that kingdom is based on the Word of God. Amen? So if our goals don't match the Word of God, then it isn't matching the kingdom of heaven that we're citizens of. It's not furthering the kingdom. We want to do things that will enhance and further the kingdom of God. Bless members of that kingdom. Amen? We want it to match up. You don't want to be pulling against what God is doing. That's why I just marvel sometimes people that will stir up trouble in a church. Because they sometimes it feels like you just want to take them aside and say, "Don't you fear God? Don't you know that God is doing a work? And you are kicking against it." People that tear down God called ministry, it has nothing to do with the man, but it's God called. God established this church. He established a work. He establishes local bodies and local works and local assemblies, and He establishes ministries in them, and He's using them. And to speak against that, to come against that, amen? My, you're working against the kingdom that you claim to be a part of. It doesn't work that way. Amen? We want to work according to the Word of God. We gladly set aside our own agendas. We gladly set aside our own feelings. We gladly set aside our own anything to further His kingdom, His work. Amen? Hallelujah. Christ reigns in life. These worldly pleasures that claim to be life are so much lower than His real, eternal life. Amen? The unconverted, brother, sister, those that have not been born again, will never understand that concept. They won't get it. They won't really, truly comprehend it. Because carnal Christians will always struggle with this. That's why they'll always struggle with the world. In and out, or tempted by this, pulled by this, and you know, struggling up and down and in and out, and right? That shows that there's something missing. There's an anchor that's missing in their life. Amen. There's a revelation that's missing. Something where you haven't come into that understanding, that revelation. Amen. The unconverted will always tend to focus more on experiencing things in this life than the things of the kingdom of God. Amen. But we gladly hand it over. Amen. If I don't have to experience another thing, another great thing in this life, as long as He is glorified, that's the main thing. Amen? I'm looking for His kingdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're doing on time here. All right, kick it into high gear a little bit here. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6 says, "He hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." He hath made us kings and priests unto God. Already made us. We didn't make ourselves, made us. He does that. Amen? Through His Holy Spirit work, He does that. And then from the church age book, he just expounds on this scripture. It says, he hath made us. Oh, there are certain truths we need to emphasize, and this is one of them. He hath made us. Salvation is his doing. Salvation is of the Lord, all of grace. He redeemed us for a purpose. He bought us for a purpose. We are kings, spiritual kings. We are going to be kings on the earth with him when he sits on his throne, but now we are spiritual kings, and we reign over a spiritual kingdom. Amen. A spiritual kingdom. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Amen.
That's past tense. Hath translated us. Amen? I mean, this is all through the scripture, brother, sister. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Reign in life. Amen? Not reigning in death, reigning in life. And then also from the church age book, speaking about those scriptures. Right now we reign with Christ, having dominion over sin. This is your dominion.
Yeah.
Dominion over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Amen.
Not future. Right now. This is the authority that we have in Christ. Right now we reign with Christ, having dominion over sin. That's why if you see someone who doesn't have dominion over sin in their life, you know they haven't entered into this.
Amen?
Amen. It's like Brother Baker says all the time, look, either the Holy Spirit gives you overcoming power or he doesn't. Either he has the power to keep you or he doesn't. There's no halfway Christians. Just like there's no drunk sober men or sort of pregnant women. You either are or you aren't. Either you have entered in and you reign with Christ over sin or you don't. And it's evidenced in people's lives. Dominion over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yes, the devil. He is under Christ. He is under you. He is. We need to remind him of that sometimes. We need to remind ourselves of that sometimes. Showing forth his praise and glory, showing forth himself, for it is Christ in us, willing and doing his good pleasure. He's basically just quoting scripture right there, right? Yes, indeed, even now we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and made us priests. Yes, priests unto him, offering the spiritual praise of sanctified lips, spending our lives as a sweet offering unto him. See? Spending our lives as a sweet offering unto him, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, interceding and petitioning, priests and kings unto our God. No wonder the world does not appeal to us, and we are a peculiar people zealous unto good works. We have been recreated in him to be children like unto our Father. That would stand quoting. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how are we gaining entrance into this? Jesus shows up, and immediately, when Jesus comes on the scene, he starts casting out demons. Amen? He starts putting the demons in their rightful position. Casting them out, removing them from the position that man is supposed to have. Amen. They aren't supposed to be in those places tormenting men that way. And he just removes them. You don't belong there. Go. Get out, he says. You don't belong there. Afflicting this child with epilepsy, go.
Right.
Amen. Afflicting legion, tormenting him with legions of demons,
right.
Go. Amen. Casting them out, because that's not their rightful place. That position, they were only allowed into that position by the fall of man. But he's proving through that the kingdom of heaven was at hand.
Amen.
And is at hand. Amen? And Jesus, as we read this morning, he said, I beheld Satan falling as lightning. Amen? He saw Satan falling from the position that he previously held. Falling, being cast out. Out of the place where the sons of God belonged. Amen? And this is a war. And this war is raging even now. In heavenly places, it's still raging on. Amen? So let's look at a couple more scriptures on this. We read a couple of these this morning, but I think these would bear repeating. Matthew 12:26 says, Jesus said, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, which is another word for the devil, right, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then that's proof the kingdom of God is come unto you. Amen? Casting out spirits by the Spirit of God, he's showing that the proof of the kingdom. Luke 10:17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen, amen. So Jesus also taught that this entrance into heaven requires perfect righteousness, and that the religious men were not righteous enough to enter in. They had to have the righteousness of God. And that's why he came to give us his righteousness. Amen? He was righteous without sin, so he had full authority and ability to enter, and so we had to take on his righteousness to be able to enter in. Why? Because Satan is in that place, and he's in that position, not idle, but he is there accusing you before the Father. He is the accuser of the brethren. That's what he's doing in your spot. He's sitting in heavenly places in your position, and he's there accusing you. Amen? But Christ himself went into the heavenly realm to become the intercessor for us, that we might follow him through his intercessory work. Amen? Putting our sin so completely away, washing it so completely away, making us whiter than snow, like the bleach, amen, that you would drop ink into and it would disappear completely. That's what Christ did for every accusation against us. So that when the enemy comes then in our place to accuse us before the judge, Father God, he has nothing to work with. Amen? So think about what Jesus was saying. He showed up and he said, I'm here for my own. I've come to take them. I've come to take possession of them, preaching and showing the kingdom of heaven that nobody could access up to that point. People that were born under the blood of bulls and goats would go to a holding place. They had no authority in heavenly realms. They couldn't have access the way we can. We went over that a little bit this morning as well. Amen. There was no way in, but he made the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's what he said, amen? He said, I'm giving you my righteousness. Oh, this is so good, brother, sister. I'm giving you my righteousness so that you can walk into that heavenly place, into that position where you belong. You can walk into your land and kick the devil out. And he has nothing to say about it. He'll try and accuse you and it doesn't fit. Devil, you're talking about somebody else. Hallelujah. Oh, I remember when you did. No, that was the old man.
Amen.
That man died. Amen. The new man that was born has no sin.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What else you got, Satan? Well, remember you did. Well, that was the old man. Hallelujah. You see this robe of righteousness that Christ has given me. Now, you're sitting, you're squatting in my place, Satan. And I've come to kick you out of my land. Hallelujah. That's what Christ did. He made a way for us. That's why he said, be ye perfect. Why? Because unless you are perfect, you won't stand the scrutiny of the accuser. But oh, the accuser has nothing to work with for a born-again child of God. Because Jesus said, I'm going to intercede for your every failure. I'm going to intercede for the ones in your past, present, and future. Amen. You're going to confess. You're going to surrender. You're going to throw yourself in my mercy, and I'm going to take your life, your soul, and I'm going to make it new. I'm going to wash away every vestige of sin from your life. No way the enemy, he's a good examiner, he's a good critic, he won't be able to find a flaw. That prosecuting attorney has no case. Not a single thing to accuse a born-again child of God. He has nothing against you. Amen. Brother, sister, there's nothing hindering you. If you've been born again of the Spirit of God, there is nothing hindering you tonight from taking a hold of every promise of God. Every benefit of the kingdom. The only thing holding you back is your own fear. Amen? Your own doubt. Or letting the enemy talk you out of it. Or talk you into laying down your sword. Or telling you that that's not you. Amen? But for it's just talk. Now, he can twist up your mind with talk. But faith anchored down in the soul. Amen. It only responds to the word of God. Hallelujah. That's why the soul, it's anchored in the word. And when it hears something that isn't the word, it just, nope. Can't take that. Can't take it. Don't want it. That's the word. That's what I'm looking for. That's what God said. That's how your soul is. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at a few more scriptures before our time is up here tonight. Matthew 5:19. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Again, we mentioned that a little bit this morning. He says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. His righteousness. Hebrews 9:23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. Amen? He's not entered into the... Now, what it's talking about is it's talking about the temple, right? It's talking about the physical temple that was made with hands. There was the holy place and the holiest of holies where the priest would enter in and sprinkle blood. Amen. But Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true. They're just speaking of the true. He says, but into heaven itself. So Christ has entered into heaven itself. You see this wording here. What is it speaking of? It's speaking of it's entered into that place, into that dimension, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's come into the place where the blood must be offered to make intercession for us. To appear in the presence of God for us. I love that, just the way it says that, amen? You know, when you get called in, you get a subpoena or something, what do they say? You have to appear in court, right? You must appear before this judge, and if you don't, you get a fine or whatever, right? You're required by law to appear. But brother, sister, he is appearing before the judge for us. The whole reason he's there is for you. Because of you, he's there. Appearing on your behalf. Jesus, why are you here? I'm here on their behalf. Let me call their names. Hallelujah. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood for others. So it's not like he has to go every year. The high priest had to do it continually, right? Because it wasn't good enough. It wasn't once and for all. It was, they had to do it all the time. But he says, for then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Amen. And then a little bit earlier in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8, he says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. All things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing. He's just kind of reiterating, right? He says all things twice, and then he says, what I'm saying is he left nothing that is not put under him. Just in case you didn't get the meaning of all, there's nothing that isn't under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Right? There's still a physical manifestation that has to happen on this earth. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Many sons. Now understand, that means daughters too, just speaking of children, right? To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, he sanctifies and they who are sanctified. That's us. Right? You put yourself right there. He's speaking about me. My Savior and me are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed of you, his child. Amen. He's not ashamed. The work that he's doing in you is precious. It's precious to him. Amen. It's important. He's not ashamed of it. He's not ashamed to call you his own. His brethren. Part of his family. Oh, hallelujah. That he would bring many sons to glory. Amen? Many sons to glory. Not just his one for glory, but many sons. Hallelujah. That's us, amen? But brother, sister, I just want to finish with this thought here tonight. We're running out of time, but this whole thing is a war. This is a battle. Amen? This is a war for our inheritance, for our place, for our position, for our lives. Amen? And that original battle started in before the beginning when Satan was cast out. And we know that when Satan rebelled and he took a group of rebellious angels with him, God cast them out. And they cast him out onto the earth. And then God placed Adam there. That's why Satan was there. Right? In the garden. And Adam was there. And Adam was supposed to take dominion over all of that. Right. Amen. And he began to do it. And then the fall. And we know what happened. But when Satan was cast out, he was cast out of heaven, heavenly places. To the earth. But then Adam's fall allowed Satan access back to be the accuser of the brethren. And we see that, brother, sister, in many places in the scripture. In fact, let's just read one here. This is Zechariah 3:1. Just one example where it says, he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. He's right there. If you see a courtroom is a great example of it because you have the judge, you have the prosecuting attorney, and you have a defense attorney. And the prosecuting attorney, their job, they're right there with the judge. They have the ear of the judge or the jury or whoever, right? And their job is to bring the accusation. They don't bring the accusation from some other place. They're right there. And he's standing at his right hand resisting him. Well, the judge says, well, testify. Well, this is what Satan's like. No, you did this, and this is what happened, and you were, he's resisting him at every turn, coming against him. And how does he do it? He does it with lies, right? He's a liar, the father of lies. Remember, he was there in the book of Job. The whole reason or the whole start of the book of Job was God and Satan having a conversation. Why is Satan even there? Because he's back in that place. He wouldn't have access in there to be accusing Job before God except for the fall. Because of the fall, he's there and he can accuse Job before God. God's like, hey, have you checked him out? Have you considered my servant Job? Right? And what does he do? He accuses him. Yeah, he's nothing. I'll make him fall. He's this, he's that. You know, take your hand off of him and I'll make him do this. This is what's really in his heart. This is what he really, right? What is it? He's just accusing. But he's doing it in that place. In that heavenly position. Amen? When Daniel prayed and God sent an angel to go minister and speak to Daniel, he was delayed because he had to fight through the demon powers. In that heavenly realm. Why are they able to even do that? Because the heavens have been polluted. Amen? Amen? But it's not permanent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to finish with this thought here. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Now this is later. This is not back the original. This is later. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Now, I want to just stop a second because this is one of those funny things that, you know how little slang terms get popular? You know, slang terms were popular back in the different period time periods, you know. You go back like in the 50s or 60s or something, and people would say, you know, I don't know, I can't even think of some of them, but they would say different words, right? And then it would, like my generation, everything was awesome, right? Or even like in the 80s, man, everything was rad. Or wizard. Or neat. Cool. Right? There are different like time periods where these words kind of gain popularity. Today, they use words like, there's different slang terms. Ooh. I'm not a kid anymore, so I am. But you know what I'm talking about. They say, oh, they're based. What does that mean? They're just squared away, right? I bet most of you didn't even know that, did you? Slang term. But I remember that there was a popular slang term or slang usage of the word not. Right? It was always somebody would say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. And you know, a retort would be, not. Right? Have you heard that? Oh, I'm going to go over, not. Somebody who was just like, yeah, right. Right? That was just the one word comeback. Oh, yeah, I'm the best basketball player. Not. Our team's going to win. Not. Right? People just say that. Not. And I always love that. Amen? We preach that. He prevailed. Not. Amen. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought in his angels and prevailed. Not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. So their place was found in heaven before that. They did have access. They were before the throne of God, or he was before the throne of God, accusing the brethren. He was there. The angels were, or the demon powers were there fighting against the angels. How else were they to have this battle? They were there in that place. But then here, they prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan. The name Satan means accuser, by the way, if you didn't know that. Which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. They were pushed out of that dimension. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now that this is done, now that he's finally been pushed out of your place, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Day and night. Even when you're sleeping, he's accusing you. Day and night. He's there at every service sitting next to you, accusing you. He comes to every altar call to accuse you. Amen. The accuser is cast down. The one that accused us before our God day and night. And we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we love not our lives unto the death. We just put ourselves in there. Therefore rejoice, heavens. And ye that dwell in them, rejoice, because those troublemakers are gone. They've been kicked out finally. The heavens are clean. They're purified. Rejoice, all ye that dwell in them. Oh, those angels are friends, our helpers, amen? They don't have to fight that battle anymore either. Why? We've come back to our rightful place. And he says, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you. And they want him. They don't know what they're asking for. Amen? Having great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. From the fourth seal, he says, now we find out here that this Satan, after being kicked out of heaven, incarnates himself in the beast, and now he is a beast, antichrist, false prophet. So he's speaking about what happens after this. He comes into the earth, and we see that further on in the scripture, right? Where he becomes the beast and the antichrist, the false prophet, and now the beast is given the name of death, and hell follows with him, fully Satan on his throne. He says, on the earth, he's Satan's representative on the earth, that he now is head of the kingdoms of the world. The very same kingdoms that he offered to the Lord Jesus in Matthew 4, Satan becomes the full king. And you know what? He can have them. Because all those kingdoms are going to be crushed. He goes on to say, now this happens later on. His false prophet now. But he will become the beast after a while. When he breaks his covenant there with the Jews, you know how we've been through. He says, now notice, he will be given a heart of a beast at that time, and Satan will incarnate himself, because when the church goes up, Satan's cast out. Amen. You see? It's done then. All his accusing is done. Amen. Now, as long as the intercessor is still on the throne, Satan can stand there and accuse, because he's the attorney on the other side. He's the opponent of Christ. And Christ, he's standing there, the opponent is standing there saying, but wait, Adam fell, Adam done this, I conquered him, I got his wife to believe a lie, and you said she'd be damned by it, I got it. But here's the mediator standing there, the kinsman redeemer, standing there with the blood that can take the vilest sinner's heart and change it. A mediator is on the throne, yes sir. Satan says they're guilty, and Jesus says they're not. Amen. Amen. That Clorox was invented or manufactured to take a stain, take the color out of the ink or any stain, and it'll break it up and you'll never find it again. It goes back to the gases and all the way back to cosmic light and past molecules and everything else. It turns back to the original where it came from. It's a creation, and a creation had to come from a creator, but all the chemicals that was manufactured and put together, they're just broke up. And that's all there is to it. There's no more of it. That's what happens to your sin, brother, sister. Even the very water substance, it is blends with the Clorox, which is ashes. Amen. Glory to be to God. It's all clean. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does to the true child of God. When he confesses that sin and stands there justified. Mercy, goodness, even. It's so great till God said, I can't even remember it no more. And he's absolutely my son. Verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you said, it shall come to pass. You see how he immediately goes from the cleansing, justification, fully cleansed, fully wiped every sin stain. He moves right from that to, verily I say unto you, if you say. That's what it's predicated on. His righteousness allows us to enter back. And then you say to this mountain, be moved. And don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say, it shall come to pass. Amen. You can have what you've said. You are a redeemed son. Amen. I know that's true. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the war at the end. Amen. That's the war. Amen. But nothing hindering but our own reluctance. Amen? If the blood of Christ has done the work is done. Amen? It's just our own reluctance to step into it by faith. Amen. Let's just look at a couple more here and we'll close, all right? This is from the message, Why Little Bethlehem? He says, look, you Bethlehem dwellers, hallelujah, I call for men. Now he's speaking about King David, amen, and how King David wanted a drink of the well of Bethlehem, and his mighty warrior men went down and they cut through miles of enemy soldiers to get a drink from that well and bring it back to David. And so he's likening that to this. Hallelujah, he says, I call for men, warriors who's not afraid. I don't care if there's 800 standing on one side and 10,000 on the other. I want warriors who will come with me and cut a hole through this line of unbelieving Philistines. The World Council has got garrisoned around the Word of God, trying to make it creeds and feed the people. He says there's a well, there's a fountain open in the house of David, Bethlehem, for sin and uncleanness. Brother, sin is unbelief in his word. What warrior, who warrior can see the millennium coming? Amen. Can we see the millennium coming? What warrior can see this great Holy Spirit come in the form of Jesus Christ, the literal body of Christ, to take over again? Stand with me. Stand by me. Let's cut a hole through this denominational creed. Amen. He says, let's get in there. He's crying for a good fresh drink of Pentecostal water. Oh, he didn't say that, did he? We're revelated message believers. We don't need Pentecost anymore, right? Oh, my. No. He says true Pentecost. Amen. Original Pentecost. Not a bunch of carrying on, screaming, hollering here. I mean genuine Holy Spirit baptism that produces the life of Jesus Christ back into the person. That's what it's all about, amen? He says, forgive me if I hurt you. Now, don't you do it. I'm going... No, he says, forgive me if I hurt you. And he says, no, don't do it. See, humanity's getting in the way a little bit there, right? I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. No, don't forgive me. I'm doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come back. Stand. You gallant men who see David standing yonder, Jesus Christ, a fugitive from his church, barred out by their creeds, there's a fresh fountain hanging yonder. Amen. There's a power to make this word live again. It's prophesied in this day to come to pass. God said it would come to pass. And it's got to come to pass. You'll never do it in the army you're in now. You're garrisoned yourself, Pentecost, right around with the rest of the organizations, cutting it to a creed. Oh, men of God, where is that sword? Our Lord desires a fresh drink. You see, this is a call to action. He's calling out, who's with me? Who's going to go further? Who's going to go on in the revealing of the word? Who's going to press into the true, living, fresh, living waters of true Pentecost? Amen? He said, our Lord desires a fresh drink. I don't care if it's life or death. Let's cut through this thing. It's so hard standing by yourself. I'm calling for men to stand by me, stand with the word. That's what the word says. Do just the way the word said. I don't care what anything else says. Stay that way, for that's the only thing that will cut. Let's get to Bethlehem, the true water of God. Amen. It's real. He's calling. Amen. Christ is calling. He's saying, come. Come, all you who are thirsty. Amen? Come, take a drink. Amen? Cut through unbelief. It's a call to action. It's a war. It's a battle. You've got a position, a place that belongs to you, and you've got to take it. It's not a picnic, brother, sister. It's a war. It's a battle. Amen. We'll just finally end up with this here in Acts chapter 3. And I just selected this because this is just one of many. But this is the effect of the kingdom of heaven working in a child of God. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being in the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered in the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He did. He got more than he bargained for. Amen? Amen. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. This is the kingdom of God in action. Amen. This is Satan being cast down, being cast out. Amen. Amen. Brother Branham said one time, he said, Peter preached at Pentecost. We know what happened at Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, the inauguration of the church. He preached a sermon that caused thousands of souls to be saved. They were pricked in their hearts and they said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And he told them, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And thousands responded and were saved. But he said, that happened and Satan never moved. But he said, this miracle at the gate, this caused all hell to turn loose on him. Why? Because now suddenly he was seeing the power that was in Christ now being manifested in others. There's more. They're multiplying. Wait a minute. That demon says, wait a minute. I already know about Christ. We crucified him. We got rid of him. But now he's in him, and he's in him, and he's in her, and he's in... Amen. The devil doesn't like to see God's power on display. That's a quote. Because he thinks he has power. But he's finished. He's finished. Amen. Christ has the preeminence. So he said, take the initiative. This is an admonition to us tonight. Take the initiative. Don't let him push something on you. You take the initiative. Satan, he is finished. Amen. Peter said some important words here. He said, I don't have silver and gold. That's what the man was looking for. He says, but I do have something. I am a possessor of something. It's greater than silver or gold. I have something. And I've received it freely, and so I freely give it to you. Amen? And what he had was a resurrection power. He had the resurrection life. He had all the benefits and all the authority of the kingdom of heaven behind him. Amen. Such as I have, I give to you. Our possession as citizens of God, as children of God, as children of the kingdom of God. That's what Peter had on display. Amen. That's what we should have on display. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight. The final casting out of Satan out of heavenly places is the final step of the church taking its place. The church is taken up, he is cast down. Amen? We go up, he comes down. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother, sister, that's something to shout about tonight. That's something to be happy about. That's a finality. He's not going to go back into that place. Amen? It's final this time. It's over. It's ended. It's done. Amen? He won't have access to that again. What a wonderful, wonderful gospel. This is good news. Amen? This is the best news. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Father, how we love you, how we appreciate you, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, sometimes we hear these things, Father. Lord, it just seems so amazing and fantastic, Lord. Our mental faculties can't even get a hold of it, Lord. But tonight, Lord, our soul is feeding on your word. Our souls are agreeing, saying, yes. Yes. Amen. Amen to the word. We might not be able to imagine it with our minds. We imagine, how is this going to be and how is this going to take place? But Lord, our soul is agreeing, saying, be it unto me according to thy will, O God. Work in my life, Lord. Lord, that overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Step by step, day by day, walk forward, marching, moving, pressing, service by service, prayer by prayer, trial by trial. Lord, moving forward, I pray that you'd bless your people tonight, Lord. Lord, if there's any here tonight, maybe they've stalled, Lord God, stopped moving forward. Oh God, I pray that you just encourage them tonight. Get up, my child. Stand up. Don't you know what you're made of? Don't you know what you're made for? Stand up. Take the initiative. Press on. Press in. The devil is a defeated foe tonight. He makes a lot of noise. But he is defeated. He is under our feet. He has no power. Christ has the preeminence. We confess that tonight, O God. You have the preeminence, Lord. Help us, O God, to move on and move forward, Lord. Bless each one, I pray, tonight. Water your word, I pray, Lord, in every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
There's an army rising up.
Hallelujah.
There's an army rising up.
And what will they do? They will break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.